Welcome to the U Rising Podcast, where you get to meet some of the wonderful people who are helping us achieve great things at the University of Utah. My name is Ruth Watkins. I'm the president of the U, and my guests today are Marla DeYoung, Dean of the College of Nursing, and Lewis Perry, Presidential Endowed Chair, and also Tracy Nixon, Chief Nursing Officer at the University of Utah Health. So welcome to both of you, Marla, Tracy. So good to have you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you very much. We're excited to be here.
Well, we were visiting a minute ago about how very important nursing is to the world today and truly always. So it's a delight to have a few minutes to visit with you about that. Now, you both are new to leadership roles at the University of Utah, and I think listeners would love to hear what those roles are and maybe just a little bit about your story at the University of Utah. So Marla, why don't you start?
Thank you. So I have been at the U since November of 2017, initially serving as chair of the acute and chronic care division within the College of Nursing. And I began as dean mid-August. And in that role, I provide strategic vision and operational leadership for the college's academic and scholarly programs. I create an environment and community to support the college's faculty, staff, and students, ensure that we provide high-quality academic programs, support our research mission, advance the scholarship of our faculty, and serve as the college's public voice, promoting initiatives across Utah and the region, and articulating our contributions to nursing, healthcare, and health policy.
So we know that deans matter in terms of leadership. It's a very important role. Congratulations on your selection as our new dean. And also for such a remarkable College of Nursing that we have at the University of Utah. I think listeners hopefully know how strong our College of Nursing is, but today's a day for them to find out if they haven't heard before. So Tracy, tell us a little bit about your new leadership role.
Well, I have been with University Health Hospitals and Clinics since 2005. I started as a clinical nurse in our medical ICU and have held a variety of leadership roles since that time. I actually am at the one-year mark in my current role as the chief nursing officer. That includes my interim appointment that started back October 1st of last year. So I am 1 year into this role. My responsibilities as the chief nursing officer for hospitals and clinics involve several aspects. So I'm responsible for all nursing clinical operations across our enterprise. That includes both inpatient, ambulatory, across all of our hospitals, ambulatory health centers, clinics, so anywhere that nursing care is delivered. I'm also responsible for our nursing practice and our scope of practice within the health system, and ensuring that we have the workforce, the training, the education, and the skills to deliver patient high-quality, reliable, safe care.
And I would want to give a shout-out of congratulations to you as well. One of the things, I was just walking around the campus, and I see all of our banners about our top 10 yes. health quality rankings, and I have a little feeling that nurses play a pretty critical role in us getting a ranking like that.
Yes.
So
yes.
Tracy, Marla, you both play a role there. I'm guessing that the profession of nursing has changed over the years. I think listeners would be interested in knowing a bit about your view of how the field is changing, has changed, and maybe what the future is in terms of nursing. And perhaps Tracy, you should go first, and then Marla can talk about how we prepare nurses for those kind of new changing roles.
Yeah, well, I think the field of nursing has changed dramatically and will continue to change as we go forward. I think some of the most obvious things as I reflect back on where nursing was and where we are today are, right, you can start with the funny, right? We used to wear caps and gowns and stockings. We have progressed to scrubs. Most nurses, if you talk to them, if they started in caps and gowns, they're very thrilled about that change. But I even think one of the significant changes from that time includes, right, we have moved from being viewed as, I think, more assistants, right, to physicians in our early healthcare profession years, to we are truly clinical experts. We are integral parts of the healthcare team. We have, our own practice that is very specific to nursing, to the care we provide. So, you know, a dramatic shift in that way. In addition, we are, our practice is way beyond the acute care hospital, right? So from education, forensic nursing, nursing informatics, and we continue to see the role of the nurse grow and expand as we try to better take care of our communities and meet the needs of our, the healthcare needs of our communities across the country. So it's an exciting time for us. It continues to be an exciting time. There's much, much more we can do, I think, as we go forward.
Well, very good. And Marla, maybe pick up a little bit on that. I think the thought of kind of interdisciplinary team members with nurses front and center, I would imagine, has implications for how we prepare people in this profession, and then certainly all the way through doctor of nursing practice as well.
Exactly. I think one of the profound differences and advancements is that nurses are really changing the landscape of healthcare in our local communities, in our state, in our nation. And what I mean by that is we're confronting major public healthcare issues like mental health, like air quality, like healthy aging, like climate change, and the impact that those things have on health. And so when we think about that from an educational perspective, our curriculum has evolved beyond educating nurses for hospital-based practice to expanded roles in primary care, where nurses are incredibly important members of the primary health care team, promoting health, delivering care, managing chronic diseases, and coordinating care among those interdisciplinary members of the healthcare team. And as you mentioned, Dr. Watkins, the different programs that we offer now in nursing have evolved. So nationwide, in the last 7 years, we have doubled the number of employed nurses with a doctoral degree. And so we have nurses with the knowledge and the competencies to advance patient care, to produce the science that we need to answer these clinical questions, and to be leaders within healthcare, within health policy, and to practice independently in those advanced practice nursing roles. The other thing that I think we're paying more attention to are topics like social determinants of health and providing effective, efficient, equitable, and accessible healthcare, and creating this culture of health whereby we're improving the health of individuals and families and communities and working very hard to reduce health disparities. So I think it's that focus on health, the access to care, the overall quality of care, and we are making a tremendous difference. Another thing that I think we've seen change over time is nurses are more involved on boards and commissions in non-healthcare settings and raising the importance of health to our communities. We're applying our entrepreneurial skills and thinking about what are the solutions that we need to be innovative and solve some of these healthcare problems. And I hope that we're doing a little bit better job of taking care of ourselves, attending to our own personal wellness, strengthening our own resiliency, and striving for better work-life balance than perhaps we've had in the past.
What's exciting and appealing about what you're saying is the role that nurses can and do play in prevention as well as restoration of health. And I love the mantra of more health, less medicine, and population health in general. So it's exciting to see the way you're talking about nurses as leaders, as participating in public health guidance, and all the things that can make help people live healthy lives. It's exciting to see the role of nurses moving in that direction as well. Now, this year, what a year. What a year, I would imagine, for nurses. Let's talk a little bit about the pandemic and the stress, I think, and the challenges for nurses on the front lines, as well as the pandemic moment and how that may have impacted how we prepare nurses for the future. So maybe we start with you again, Tracy. We see very poignant stories of the roles that nurses have played during this period. I have to believe that has been very difficult.
Yeah. I certainly think that it has been more than any of us probably understood when we stepped into our careers that we would be nursing through a pandemic of this magnitude. What I can say is so incredibly proud and impressed by the nursing profession through all of this. I mean, as a nurse, I always have been, but for me personally, this highlights the commitment and the passion they have for those that they serve. It has been incredibly challenging for all of us, but you know, in the early days of trying to understand what it was gonna mean for us here locally in Utah, right, lots of examples as we watched New York go through their experience. So trying to translate that to us, lots of conflicting information to manage. So just the pace of change that we were trying to navigate in those early times, trying to help our staff be prepared, our nurses be prepared, trying to secure the PPE, manage the fears and that staff had through all of that. Asking them to do things they have never done before, cross-training, taking nurses from an ambulatory setting and training them to be ICU extender nurses. So really the demand to be an incredibly flexible and nimble workforce. And again, right, without hesitation there, you know, people just picked up and did what they needed to do to take care of our patients. They've had to be incredibly innovative. We just have not taken care of patients in the way our patients need us to right now. You know, our ICU patients, COVID positive ICU patients that are prone. So yes, proning in a medical ICU is not a completely uncommon practice. It is, but it is very, very rare. And now we have patients prone, you know, for the majority of their stay while ventilated and on, you know, all sorts of support. So how do we care for a patient that's prone? It's certainly beyond our normal nursing ratios and, right, so how do we manage that? And we're asking them to do that in full personal protective equipment. So PAPRs and, you know, which creates challenges in just movement and how long you can stay in all of that personal protective equipment. So they have been incredible, but trying to focus on how we take care of them during all of this with the physical demands, the emotional demands. They are caring for patients who are isolated. I think this is probably the thing I have heard the very most and that proves to be one of the most challenging things for all of our healthcare workers, but to care for patients who are incredibly ill and dying, and they're alone for that. The emotional burden and pain, I think, for both the patient but the staff, having to connect with their loved ones, you know, using FaceTime to say their last farewells, right? The emotional impact to our staff has been, I think, one of the hardest parts of this. And how do we help them through that? How do we help them heal and recover and continue to do the work because they have more patients right that day and the next shift and the shift after that. So I think that has been incredibly challenging for them. And then, you know, how do they stay safe and do they feel safe? So do they feel safe at work, but also do they feel safe to go home, right? So there is, you know, especially early on, lots of fear about how you know, the disease transmission worked exactly, lots of conflicting information. So how do we help our staff be safe at work? How do we help them be safe when they go home so they can continue to take care and be part of their own families and lives? So it has been, I think, incredibly challenging, but again, amazing workforce, committed professionals, and really has highlighted, I think, certainly the nursing profession, and their commitment to what they do, but also the amazing teamwork. So it is, right, it is not just nurses, it is just this amazing team that has come together to make this happen has been incredible to be part of and to right, watch what an amazing health system we have.
Yeah, I'd like to really express my gratitude to your nursing team and to you for your leadership. It is really remarkable time, and I know that our patients and their families and our community sees the work that you all do and expresses appreciation for it. Wow. I mean, this is the pandemic moment has brought a lot of change to us all. And you may be at the front of that. And you too, probably, Marla, because I'm sure the pandemic is changing the way we're thinking about preparing the workforce and probably has created a lot of new teaching moments in nursing. So tell listeners a little bit about that.
Yes, and I too just want to say to Tracy, very powerful, heartfelt words. And nurse to nurse, I know where you're coming from, and I appreciate everyone on the front lines within our healthcare systems, wherever that may be. Certainly, the experience is somewhat different for us on the academic side. We too are being flexible and innovative. And so in March, like the rest of the university, our highly qualified faculty and the staff who support them began delivering our courses online, either synchronously or asynchronously. We leveraged virtual simulation and telehealth to teach clinical skills when we could. So for instance, our psych mental health nurse practitioner students and their preceptors use secure technology to care for patients in ways that were actually similar to in-person clinic appointments. Because our goal was to remain open. Our goal was to educate students. Our goal was to give students the very best possible experience so that they could graduate on time, so that Tracy, you could hire them. That was important to us. And not all nursing schools in the country have been able to do that. And so we will continue on in that manner. But you might imagine that for some of our students, it wasn't quite as easy. For example, our baccalaureate students who normally complete so many hours of clinical training in inpatient settings were not able to do that. But I'm thankful for our forward-thinking faculty who produced online demonstrations to teach clinical skills. Our college purchased off-the-shelf software by which we could do virtual simulations that allowed students to assess a virtual patient, to select nursing interventions and reevaluate their patient based on feedback from that virtual patient and a virtual preceptor. And then our faculty met with students in small groups to help work through those scenarios and to learn what they could in a virtual fashion. This semester, we are delighted to be back in clinical settings. And we're grateful to be part of the U's academic healthcare system and for our partners like Intermountain Healthcare System and the VA who have welcomed our students so that now they have that full spectrum experiential learning opportunity. Of course, we ensure that our students are safe by providing them with the personal protective equipment that they need. And then looking forward, we're thinking about ways that we can even expand upon virtual reality as an exciting tool to use teaching repetitive task training and staging even more complex patient scenarios in a virtual manner. We also, from a research perspective, are busy conducting new studies that are COVID-related. Our interdisciplinary researchers have submitted 9 grant applications regarding COVID topics alone. And although many of them are still under review, 3 are funded and underway. And like Tracy's clinicians, through it all, and in the midst of the snowstorm, the pandemic, the earthquake, the hurricane force winds, our nurses and nurse practitioners and nurse midwives continued to provide high quality, high value patient care in hospitals and clinics and community settings throughout the juvenile justice system here in Utah, and even in patient homes. And so doing our best to adapt and make sure that we are still meeting the needs of our patients.
We thank you for your creativity, the hard work and innovation of your colleagues. And I think it is interesting to try to imagine, you know, the pandemic has been extraordinarily difficult for so many. And yet the capacity of digital learning and the digital experience, there are good things that we are taking from this. And I would imagine that for nurses, the opportunity to repeat virtual procedures till they learn them well could be very, very handy and really powerful as a learning tool. So we thank you for your efforts to think through those questions and imagine how we come through this stronger, better, and continuing to prepare the nurses the state and Intermountain West and the world really needs. So I understand the WHO designated 2020 as the International Year of the Nurse and the Midwife. Seems so very fitting in the moment we're in. Tell me a little bit about how that celebration happens, how nurses are recognized, and well deserved recognition, I would say.
Marla, do you want to lead?
So I'll start by saying that the International Year of the Nurse and Midwife was declared prior to COVID, and it was designated that way to recognize the vital role that nurses have in promoting health, preventing disease, providing care, and transforming healthcare around the world. It also honors the 200th anniversary of Florence Nightingale's birth, and it highlights the challenging conditions, though, that worldwide nurses often face in their profession, and brings attention to the risks associated with the nursing shortage, and advocates for the investments in nursing worldwide in terms of our nursing workforce and our midwifery workforce. The effort was really to highlight the contributions that nurses make and to exude confidence that in the future, we will continue to make those contributions, but we need to recruit many, many more nurses in the short term.
Tracy, do we do anything to celebrate our nurses?
We typically celebrate Nurses Week. It occurs in May for us. We have an honors for nursing program. The College of Nursing leads for us. So unfortunately, in May, we had just shut down our hospital and all of our business and all of our traditional means for celebrating were kind of brought to a screeching halt. And those continue, right? Many of the restrictions about how we would typically celebrate gathering sizes, the sharing of food, some of the things that are very right, close, near and dear to the nurse's heart and how we celebrate is right through the sharing of food and the gathering. And so we haven't been able to do those. We have focused a lot at the hospital around local recognition and local acknowledgement and being very present with our teams as we go through. You know, we did some of the announcements and some of the letters that we send out and ways of typically expressing gratitude, but trying to do it more on a personal and one-on-one basis with our different teams across our health system. We did, you know, we focused a lot on the healthcare heroes, really trying to emphasize and show support for our staff that way, but also trying to meet nurses really where they were at that time. You know, there was still a great deal of fear, lots of stress. We were rapidly changing, in those early months. And so trying to be super sensitive to that. And, you know, there was lots of people around our area were losing their jobs and lots of stress on their personal lives. So trying to be sensitive and balance that and be thoughtful about how we go and recognize. So meeting our nurses wherever they were in the spaces they were to just provide more personal recognition and gratitude in lieu of our typical events that we plan. And I think that it felt weird for us. Nurses Week is usually, as Marla will tell you, a kind of a big deal for us, right? We're all about celebrating ourselves for the entire week. Well, it just did not feel, it didn't resonate and hit home with us in light of everything that was going on within our own organization and our community, but across the country. It was challenging. So we tried to balance that and strike a happy medium and just have more personal one-on-one recognition with our teams as we went through.
That makes perfect sense. And I would say as we move through the pandemic, the University of Utah owes you nurses a whole lot. And we will plan a very big celebratory event as we see us clear through the pandemic. So I think the world will have a celebratory event, but I know we will want to highlight the role nurses have played. And on that note, I hear we have an initiative called Thank a Nurse, Fund the Future. Tell listeners about that.
Yes. So as I alluded to earlier, the World Health Organization estimates that there will be a worldwide shortfall of 9 million nurses and midwives by the year 2030, unless we have some sort of radical action that reverses that. And so the College of Nursing is doing our part to educate nurses But our students are experiencing financial burdens due to the climate of COVID and other personal reasons. So we are, within the College of Nursing, providing emergency funds. We call it the Ripple Scholarship, due to the far-reaching effects of providing financial relief to our students. And the need within our college has never been greater. Pre-COVID, we typically awarded scholarships to 6 or 12 students per semester. This past spring, we awarded scholarships to 47 students for nearly $88,000. And already this fall, we have awarded 17 scholarships for over $25,000. And so to raise money, we launched YouStarter crowdfunding. And we're grateful to our BSN student, Carol, and her husband, Jeff Stowell, who pledged to match $25,000 in donations after hearing and witnessing firsthand the immediate need within our student body. So if you are interested in donating, your dollar will be matched one-to-one. And if you would like more information, I encourage you to visit ustarter.utah.edu.
So listeners, who among us has not had our lives improved by a nurse, touched in one way or another, our own or our family members? Be a part of it. Thank you, Marla, Tracy, for your leadership, your support of health and patient care and education of future nurses. Listeners, thank you for joining us today for the U Rising podcast, and I hope you'll join for the next edition. Thank you all.